We're going to take a look at Daniel chapter 1 today. We're going to take a look at the whole chapter 1. I'm only going to read you 7 verses, and we will cover the rest in our time together. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. And these he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and he put them in the treasure house of his God. And the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. And he was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, the names that Aaron talked about. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, I pray an anointing to teach. Lord, I pray an anointing, Lord, that we would hear from you this morning in a mighty way. Lord, I pray an anointing to hear, Lord, that you would prepare, you have prepared a message, and to prepare our ears to hear from you, Lord. That each person in here, Lord, would have an anointing, Lord, to receive a message designed from on high this morning, Lord. I bind every distraction, Lord, by your name, Lord, that we would not be disrupted in this time, Lord, that we could hear clearly from you. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Leanne came to me the other day, or she was talking actually to Lisa and I, and she says, why did you name me Leanne? Why don't you just name me Elizabeth? And realistically, Leanne's name is Elizabeth Ann. I named her after her mom, Lisa Ann. And she's going, why don't you just call me Elizabeth? Joe, as we were thinking about that and talking about that, Joe, at one point, he had a Batman costume. That's not Joe. That's a picture I got off the internet. But he came up to his mom when he was about that age and say, Mom, why didn't you name me Batman? And he would run around the house, you know, your boys do that, you know, it's like you got to run fast enough to have the cape be flying. He would just be running around. Why don't you just call me Batman? And so we're talking about names. We'll start talking about names today and getting a name that you can live with. Middle East is, if you've been watching the news, Middle East is in the news. Have you noticed that?
Amen.
Pastor Dave said, I got no cable. I'm jonesing on my news. I can't get anything. I'm trying to hook him up there. Middle East is in the news. Egypt is in the news. In fact, it's like all of northern Africa is in revolt at this point. Muslim countries that are getting shaken up. And you know, it's been that way for 2,500 years. Actually, it goes all the way back to Ishmael, Ishmael will be a goat among men and battle with his brothers. And so you can go back even 3,000 years. I'm going to do a little geography for you today. Is that okay? Good. I'm going to do it anyway if you say no. But, all right. This is Egypt, okay? And you guys, hey, that's where Egypt is. Red Sea, Suez Canal is not there yet, obviously, 2,500 years ago. This is 700 B.C., about 100 years before the time of Daniel, okay? And this is Assyria. Assyria had dominated all of, this is Iraq right here. This is Iran heading out this way, and Turkey coming up here, okay? So Assyria, and this is all desert. They didn't care about the desert. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody go to El Centro? No, why? Because nobody cares about the desert. That's what they did in them days too. All right, so you got the Tigris and Euphrates River up here and all kinds of green stuff. And then they looped around, they come down, and here is modern-day Palestine. And they went all the way to Egypt. And the Assyrians had conquered Assyria, Israel, the northern kingdom, in 721 B.C., came down. And you see this little green dot right here. And this is all, realistically, this is modern-day Palestine right here. And the country of the children of God had been squeezed down to this little area around Jerusalem. All right, now, we're going to fast forward about 60, 70 years. And this is the time of Daniel, okay? And Egypt is its own kingdom. And they are at war with Babylon. And Babylon has scooped all the way around over here. It's just basically, they assert back from Assyria. And so they've got this chunk of the kingdom, and Egypt is back in control. And when you study this time, what you have is a battle between Babylon and a battle between Egypt for supremacy. And it's kind of teetering back and forth, and sandwiched in the middle of it is Jerusalem. Sandwiched in the middle of it is the children of God. Now, there's some problems with the children of God. I'm starting this series. What we're talking about is finding victory in the midst of defeat. Any of you guys facing some challenges? Any of you guys use a little victory delivered your way? See, God's people. Oh, Roki's going, hey, I got two hands back here. And when you see Roki back there, he's a new addition to our ushering crew back there. He writes Mr. and Master on these things. So if you see that, you want that, you can have him write yours up. Victory in the midst of defeat. And the problem with God's people is they were experiencing a little defeat. Why is that? Well, they had lost their vision, their focus on the Lord. That's what Aaron was talking about, right? Trust, talking about faith. Well, they had kind of lost their focus. God's righteous people weren't so righteous anymore. And so they were liable to defeat. We're going to talk about this whole series of 6-7 weeks on finding victory in the midst of defeat. And as we take a look at Daniel, we're going to talk about his focus on the Lord. And that we will find, as we talk about that, that as you focus on the Lord, you will find assistance. Has anybody found that to be true? That God will come to your aid as you put your focus on the Lord, that he brings assistance to you. That as you put your focus on the Lord, there is support that comes from him. Amen? And as you put your focus on him, you can find victory in the midst of your defeat. You can find victory in the midst of your challenge. And we're going to see that over and over and over again as God brings judgment on his people for losing focus on him. Now, we're talking about Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim's grandfather was an evil Judean or Jewish king called Manasseh. And he was the most evil of all the kings of the Jews. And he had lost. Now, there had been other bad kings before him, but he had lost the way. They had a big old temple, the Temple of David, giant temple in Jerusalem. And he had erected altars to foreign gods in the middle of God's house. You know, Jesus was clearing out the temple courts with whips when the people were buying and selling. Well, King Manasseh had taken altars and they would worship foreign gods right in the middle of God's temple. Do you think that might irritate him? Can I get a witness? Number one commandment is what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? Thou shalt make no idols, not take my name in vain. And here he is. He had child sacrifice in the temple of God to Baal. And God was not happy. Bible tells us that he sacrificed his own son on the altar to Baal. Now that is losing track. Can I get a witness on that? Now, God shook him up. Bible tells us, if you read in 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, that he was taken to Babylon with a hook through his nose. And that he turned his life around. And when he got back, he tore down all those other idols. But it was too late. It was too late because God was already going to bring judgment on his people. God was already going to shake things up. And here we read that God turns Israel over to Babylon. And Daniel is one of those that is taken to Babylon. And we read about his name. See, his name was Daniel, but he gets a new name. Well, let me read you the promise. This is what God promises because they have lost track. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I am going to bring such disaster on Jerusalem. Jerusalem and Judea, that little area around Jerusalem, that like the county of Jerusalem, so to speak, that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. That's some news. Can I get a witness on that? You know, so I saw all the stuff going on in Egypt, everybody watching the big demonstrations, everybody's ears were tingling. God said it's going to be like that. He says, I'm going to stretch out over Jerusalem the measuring line used against Samaria, and that is the northern kingdom that was destroyed, and the plumb line used against the house of Ahab, and I'm going to wipe out Jerusalem as one wipes out a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So as that happens, and actually 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar comes back and utterly destroys Jerusalem and the temple. This is about 20 years before that. Daniel is taken. And Daniel is given a new name. Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar means Prince of Bel. And that Bel is a contraction of Baal. And so here's Daniel. And the judgment is coming. Why? Because they're worshiping Baal. Right there in the temple courts. And here is this righteous young man that is taken to Babylon and he's given a brand new name, which says Prince of Baal. Title of today's message is a name that you can live with. Amen? All right, we're going to bring this home. All right, moving through the challenges of life. Some of you guys, or many of us, are experiencing challenges in our lives. Amen? And maybe some of us can use a little support in the midst of those challenges. Amen? Yeah, Roki's saying, yeah. He says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, besieging it means he laid siege to it, couldn't get any food, couldn't get any water, couldn't get any of that stuff. And the people inside were starving. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, along with some of the articles. I mean, he plundered the temple. He took some of the stuff out of the temple of God and he took it and he put it into his temple to his God. And the people were feeling what? Defeated. This guy's coming in and whooping on our God. And number one, I just want to let you know that God is shaking things up. That this did not come as a surprise to our God. Amen? Bible says that God handed him over. That God handed Jehoiakim, his king, his rotten king, handed him over to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. As we read this, and just like reading today's news, there are some changes that are going on. Changes going on in Egypt, changes going on in Jerusalem, changes going on in Babylon. Now, it says here that Jehoiakim had been king for 3 years, in the third year of Jehoiakim's reign. So he'd been the king of Jerusalem for 3 years. And he has a name. The name of Jehoiakim is he whom God has set up. You want that name, Roki? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? He whom God has set up. I'll take that name. Everybody says, Pastor, he who's God who set up. I'll take that. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, that's me. Now, that wasn't always his name. His name before that was Eliakim. And Eliakim means he whom God will set up. Amen. See a little progression there, right? Amen? It's like going through like he whom God will set up, and then he gets set up, and it's like he whom God has set up. But here's the problem. God didn't set him up. The guys who put him, and you can read about this in 2 Kings 23 and 24. The ones who set him up as king over Jerusalem were the Egyptians. The ones who gave him the name of Jehoiakim was Pharaoh, king of the Egyptians. And realistically, we could have given him a different name. It would have been Pharaoh-kim, he who had Pharaoh has set up. I don't want to freak anybody out here. Okay, let me show you. So you got Jehoiakim, he whom God has set up, Eliakim, he whom God will set up, and then you got Pharaoh-kim, he whom Pharaoh has set up. Why does Pharaoh get to set him up? Because Grandpa Manasseh lost his way. And because of that, Jehoiakim, or Eliakim, grew up with no compass in his life. And some of us, we grow up and we have no compass in our life. We have no focus in our lives. And what happens is we go running off after this thing and after that thing and after that thing. Now, what happens here? See, he's crowned king of Jerusalem because of the power of Egypt. He says, I'll follow the Egyptians. Now, Babylonians come along and they take over and say, I'll follow the Babylonians. And realistically, Jehoiakim has no rudder in his life. He'll follow whoever is in charge. And that's what happens to our lives. We have no rudder. We have no foundation. We have no basis. And God is saying, you know what, Jehoiakim, I am sorry. I'm just done with you. I'm done with my people. I'm going to expose you for what you are. You have no foundation in your lives. God is shaking things up. So what does he do? He hands Jehoiakim over to the enemy. Why? Because he wants to get Jehoiakim's attention. My question for you today is, does God have your attention? Does God have your focus? Because from what we read here, he'll do whatever it takes to get your attention. Amen? Think about my life, man, I'll tell you what, he did some severe stuff to get my attention. How about you, Belteshazzar? Some severe stuff? Look at that wheelchair. That's some pretty severe stuff. See, God will do whatever it takes to get your attention. And I hope that he has your attention today. Because if not, there could be some severe challenges coming your way. Amen? Amen. 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 All right. Hallelujah. That's good. Keep it there. He won't have to do nothing. Moving through the challenges of life, verses 3 through 5. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of, this is Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, chief of his court officials, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. He says, bring me the best. And he says, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning. Probably would have taken Roki. Probably would have taken Mike. I don't know if I'm young enough. There's some humor there, folks. You can get a laugh. Okay. Yeah, see, like, no physical defect. All right. Qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from his very table, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. And I want you to notice that Daniel's taken from Jerusalem to Babylon, to Babylonia, and he is surrounded by the enemy. That he is moving right into the palace, and that he was not alone, but they took the very best, the nobility, the people with the most resources, the people that were the most gifted, they had the most training. And he says, we're going to take the best and we're going to turn them into Babylonians. And they're going to serve me. Took them right into the king's palace. Teach them a new way to live. He's going to teach them how to live like the enemy. Teach them how to eat. Teach them how to dress. And pretty soon, after a little while, you wouldn't be able to tell any difference between them and the enemy. The enemy still does that, folks. He does it just a little bit at a time. It happened in my life. Some of you might remember Jaws. I was 14 years old when I went to this movie, and one of our family friends who was, I don't know, 16, 17 years old, he was working in Fresno at the time, And he came and visited had dinner at our house or something. We knew him. And he took me to go see Jaws. And I think, yeah, he had a little Porsche. And we were sitting there, and he brought a six-pack. And I've never drank him before. And we drank those beers, and I got my first buzz. And you know, I spent the next 15 years of my life chasing that buzz. Totally derailed my life. Started off slow. Started off with little things. And got worse and worse and worse. And it worked because what little foundation I had was taken away by the enemy. It'll happen to you. For some of you, it has happened. And you have surrendered your life, like Balthazar says, hey, he's got my attention and he's keeping it. But he's after your kids. And maybe you haven't turned your life back over to him or to for the first time yet. Without a solid foundation, you'll end up looking just like the enemy. Amen? All right. You're going to choose God, you're going to end up with some additional challenges in your life. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Daniel said, I'm not going to do this. Daniel had a foundation. Daniel had a focus. He says, I am not going to defile myself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. When you choose God, you're going to face some challenges. And as we read in Scripture, Daniel is one that is making that choice. Amen? Each one of us face problems of focus. Each one of us has an issue of trust, and each one of us has an issue of faith in our lives. Amen? Daniel's faced with this choice. He's going to say, okay, here I am in Nebuchadnezzar's palace. He just whooped all over Jehoiakim, whooped all over Jerusalem, took some of the stuff out of the temple. I think I need to jump on board with a winner. Amen. No. He's chased with a voice. He is faced with a choice. I'm either going to follow God or I'm going to follow Nebuchadnezzar. And we're all faced with that same choice today, folks. You're going to put your focus on the Lord or you're going to put your focus on the world? It starts off so easy. It starts off with just what he's eating. A little of the king's food, a little bit of the king's wine. It'd be so easy to say, you know what? Hey, I'm just going to go along to get along. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just a little bit. Hey, I just got to fit in. And you got to ask ourselves, what's wrong with Babylonian food? Now, Daniel ends up eating just vegetables, and the Bible tells us that God didn't have a problem with meat. Got no problem with cow, got no problem with sheep, got no problem with lamb, or the goats. But he's got a problem with pig. Got a problem with how food's prepared. Got a problem with how blood is handled. It's all specked out in Old Testament books of Exodus and Leviticus. It's called the dietary restrictions in the Bible. Now, he's done away with those dietary restrictions in the New Testament. There's plenty of restrictions that remain. You say, really? Like what? Well, here's a biggie. God says, you know what? I'm going to ask you to do some stuff that you really don't understand why I'm asking you to do those things. But you know what I'm going to ask you to do? I'm going to ask you to keep some focus on me. I'm going to ask you to trust me. And I'm going to ask you to obey me. You say, well, that sounds good. Everybody here is good with obeying God? Anybody here want to be disobedient to God? Say, you know what? Heck with God. I'm just going to do what I want. Eddie, you good with that? Eddie, you good with that? Good. One of the things God's going to ask you to do, he says, I don't want you to have sex outside of marriage. You say, what? I'm just going to go along to get up. God, everybody does it. And he says, right. Everybody does it except my people. My people don't do that. One other thing he's going to ask you to do? He says, I don't want you to get high. What? Everybody gets high. Where does it say that in the Bible? The Bible says, don't become drunk with wine. You can have a glass of wine. Don't be drunk with wine. Now, I never smoked weed without wanting to get a buzz. So, No meth, no coke, no crack, no weed, no acid, no mushrooms, no ecstasy, all that stuff. There have been all kinds of people doing it. God says, right, not my people. He says, you're going to be my people, you want to put a focus on me? You put a focus on me, and you avoid those two things. That's a good starting point. There's some other stuff that's going on. I'll tell you what. From the time when I was 15 to 29, when I hit 16, I was drunk or stoned every day from when I was 16 to the time I was 29. You know what? I wish I could relive those years and reclaim those years. Amen? I mean, anybody here thinking, man, I wish I would have done more drugs. I wish I would have done more alcohol. Man, I really could have been debaucherous. No, man, I've wasted my time. Maybe you're here and you're wasting your time. God will shake things up and let you know you're wasting your time. Time to put a focus on me. Time to put your trust in me. They'll make some transformations. You can find assistance when you put your focus on the Lord. You can find success when you put your trust upon the Lord. Amen? You can find victory when you put your trust in the Lord. And until you do that, it's just not going to work out. Little choices, they add up to bigger choices. Let me see where I'm at. I just kind of got off this thing. God says, I want you to live like you know me. I'll take care of you. Amen? All right. Second point. Following God is risky. Following God is risky. Daniel, now God had caused the official, this is the chief official of Nebuchadnezzar, God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, he says, I'm afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. I'm afraid that if you guys don't eat the good food and drink the good wine, that you guys are going to look all peaked and sickly, and he's going to come up and say, what's up with these guys? And he's going to say, well, I didn't give them the good food. Well, why did you do that? I ordered you to do that. And I'm afraid he's going to kill me. I'm afraid he's going to cut off my head. You start following the Lord, you're going to face some risks. People around you making choices for the Lord, going to break with the Lord, with the enemy, with the world, and there's going to be exposed to risk. And that's why it's called trust. That's why it's called faith, because you go, whoa, Lord, all I got is you. And he says, hey, I'm enough. Amen? I'm enough. I can handle your situation. I can handle your issue. I can handle your challenge. Would you just put your focus on me? Take your eyes off your own provision and put it on me. Bible says that God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel wouldn't even have gotten an ear had God not been working for him. Amen? You want to have success in the situations that you're in? God will make a way. Bible says, Proverbs 16:7, when a man's way are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Got a call from Balthazar last night, not in my notes, by the way. And he says, man, these guys are smoking meth right outside my window. And Balthazar, if you ask him, has had issues with methamphetamine use in his past. And he says, Pastor, you got to pray for strength. And I said, go talk to him. Go talk to him and tell him, hey, you know what? Give him your testimony. Give him your witness. Say, hey, man, you know, hey, just do me a favor. Show me a little respect. And so I came up to him today. I said, how was he? He goes, it's all good. I goes, you still talk to him? He said, no. By the time we got done, they quit smoking, and they had already moved away, and I didn't know what's going on with him. Says he's got the devil as his neighbor. But I tell you what, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and you can have that victory. Amen? So you put the focus and the trust on the Lord, the faith on the Lord, and you can find that victory that is going on the challenges that are going on around you. Now, this chief official is worried about the repercussions. The chief official is saying, you know what? I'm more worried about what Nebuchadnezzar can do to me than what your Lord can do for me. He's worried that Daniel's going to do poorly compared to all the other guys in the training program, and he's going to get his head cut off. And the answer that Daniel gets is no. I'm not going to help you, Daniel. It's not worth it to me. And sometimes you're going to get that answer. No, I don't want it. I am not interested. I don't trust God enough, and I don't think God can do it. And for people like that, they need some help. Amen? Amen. Timothy, come on up here. I asked Timothy to come up. I hear these great testimonies. Let me take that, bro. Molly came up with a fabulous testimony. I'm going to grab you on the run there, Molly. Timothy came up and said, today is 1 year ago I started coming to this church. That's right?
That's right, yeah. That's right.
Talking to the mic, so go on the tape and your dad get here.
That's right. So I said, you say a spark, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And it was a spark for me a year ago when I walked into this church. I didn't continually come, like, I came, like, for 2 weeks after, and then I skipped a month, and then I came consecutively after that. But it's been a year ago today.
Had some of these challenges and issues going on in your life that needed to get smoothed out?
Yes, definitely.
So the front end of this thing can be quite a rocky road. Yep. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you have been talking about, there's two guys around you that have been noticing the change in you.
Yep.
James is staying with you, got a spiral fracture in his femur.
Right.
And he said, you know what, tell me about all this church stuff. I'm not going to show up until I see a change in you, right?
And so I was like, pressure. That's a lot of pressure on me. But, yeah, he did. So he's been questioning a lot lately. He doesn't have a choice now because he's in my house. But, you know.
With a busted leg. You can't go anywhere, right?
I bring him food, and Natty said to me, well, I'm not going to let you take any food to somebody who can't come to church. And I said, well, he'll come to church. But he's been blessed.
Me and Mike had to carry him down the stairs so we go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So we'll give him some slack, okay,
yeah,
Natty?
Just for a while.
Now, but, what's going on? Now, Bill is your roommate. You've been living with you for how long?
2 years.
Two years.
Yeah.
And he grew up in the church and has drifted away from the church and had a problem with him because he got a boot in front of your house and all this kind of stuff. Big old argument.
He grew up Methodist.
And something's happened recently. What's happened with him?
Probably about the last 3 months, 2 or 3 months. He's seen a change in me, and it sparked him to get on the internet and look up Methodist. He grew up Methodist. His grandmother took him to the Methodist church until he left about age 17. So that kind of sparked in him to look up on the internet and kind of study about the Methodist church. And so it's kind of like sparked an interest in him, the change in me. And he blew me away. Like a week ago, he started reciting the Sermon on the Mount. He knows it from memory, the entire Sermon on the Mount. So I was like, whoa, I was blown away by that.
Now, this guy lives far from the Lord. Amen?
Far from the Lord. We have the Buddha statue thing going on. But he's moved it. So that's
amen.
Great.
Praise the Lord.
Statue.
God is good. Amen?
Yeah.
You can bring a testimony and see a change. Thank you, Timothy. Welcome. Congratulations on a year. Amen. Amen. All right. Third point. See, in the same way Timothy's not quitting, Daniel doesn't quit. All right? And he's taking steps of faith. And that's what Timothy's doing. And that's what each one of us need to do. Steps of faith, steps of trust. Aaron said, trust, look to faith. Amen? Same thing. Daniel said to the guard, right? I mean, you got the king, you got the chief official. Now he's talking to the guard. He's not giving up. And he's saying, whom the chief official appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please, please test your servants. For 10 days, give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then compare our appearance with that of the other young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. That's a test. Amen?
Amen.
At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. He approaches the guard. Of them all, the guard is the one who was the closest to Daniel and his friends. Of them all, it is the guard who sees the testimony of their lives, who sees the focus of their lives, and who sees the foundation of their lives. And my question for you this morning is, who is paying attention to your life? Who is it that is seeing your life and being transformed by what they see? Who is it who's got a testimony like Timothy, and it says, you know what, I'm paying attention to what you've got going on in your life, and you know what, I like it, and so much so that I'm doing some self-check. Who's doing that in your life? Who is the one that you are having impact on? Because Daniel was having impact on the guard. who was aligned with Nebuchadnezzar. 10 days later, they look better than everybody else around them. And I'll tell you what, you start working God's plan, and it's going to start working for you. Amen? Amen? I'll tell you what, stand up again, Timothy. You're looking pretty good. Got the tie action going. You got like a goatee thing going to start working? I don't know. That's looking a little bit scary, but we'll see how that comes. Oh, you're good with that, Sandra? All right, that's good. She's looking good. See, the guard took a risk, and he got won over. That was the first victory. And when you submit yourself to the Lord, you're going to find victory, amen? When you get a focus on the Lord, you will find victory in your life. Why? Because the Lord is going to ensure it. What else goes on? All right. To these four young men, God's paying attention to what you do, folks. God knows when you're obedient. God knows when you're disobedient. God knows when you're focused on him. God knows when you're just playing a game. And these guys were focused on him. He says, okay, let's do this thing. And he says, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And at the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. This is 3 years, folks. Do you know that sometimes it takes a little while for the Lord to pour out his blessings on you? Do you know that it takes a little while for the Lord to pour out his blessings on you? Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. See, we read this and it's just like, oh yeah, 10 days and boom. The Lord has given them understanding and then the Lord has given spiritual gifts to Daniel. No. 3 years go by. It takes a while to grow in the Lord. Amen? Timothy said, it's been a year. Praise the Lord. God's doing some good stuff. There is more things that will be going on in Timothy's life, and there's more things that go on in your life as you put your focus on him. Amen? All right. He says, the king talked with him, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service, and in every matter of wisdom and every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and all the enchanters in his whole kingdom. God will make a difference in your life. Put your focus on him, he'll put his focus on you. Amen? He gave these four men wisdom and understanding. How many of you guys are in TUMI studying the Ministry Institute stuff? Put your hand up. Sandra, put your hand up. Yep. You know what? The more you do that, the more focused you are on him, he will give you wisdom and understanding in a supernatural way. Amen? I mean, Belzar didn't even used to be able to read. Now he's getting A's in the TUMI classes. That's just not Balthazar's work. That's God doing his work in him. Amen? I mean, you could read, but it's just like he couldn't hold the book. He couldn't focus. Couldn't do any of that stuff. Now he's an A student. Why? Because God is making a change. God will bring you victory when you put your focus on him. God brings spiritual gifts to Daniel that he can translate dreams, understand dreams, and understand visions. Spiritual gift, supernatural gifts. You look at that and you say, eh, interpreting dreams, so what? That ability became critical in Daniel's life. That ability to translate visions and dreams became so critical in Daniel's life that he and the three other young men would have been killed had he not been able to do that. Daniel's life was banked on him being able to understand visions and dreams. What's your gift? Daniel's gift propelled him as one of the leaders of the whole Babylonian kingdom. What's your gift? The Bible says that each one of us has received a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a gift from him to have impact in this body. You become a member of this church. We ask you to do a couple things that God asks you to do. Avoid sexual immorality. Don't get high. And when you become a member, we give you this spiritual gift test. Maybe you know what your gift is. You've already taken that. Maybe you're going, really? These are some simple questions. Take you, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. There's a little thing there. And you bring it back to me or Pastor Dave or Ramiro or somebody, and we're going to find a way for you to use your gift around here so that you can have impact in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen? I'll tell you what, you start stepping forward in the Lord and put a focus on Him, you will see differences in your life. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm going to close now. Look at Daniel's life. Why are you laughing over there?
I'm encouraging.
Oh, you're encouraging me? Okay. Take a look at Daniel's life, and you can see God involved all along the way. I take a look at my life. Even the time before and after that Jaws movie, when I was slipping down the slope, I see God involved in my life. How when you look at your life, you see God involved. Bible says that God delivered Jehoiakim over to the Babylonians. That God made the Babylonians favorable to Daniel. That God gave the opportunity for Daniel to progress in that system. And Daniel had faith and trust in God to step ahead. Amen? Are you stepping ahead in God? Are you stepping ahead in Christ? Are you finding your gift? I talked to Roki today. I said, hey, Roki, you're interested in being an usher. There he is back there making out badges. Praise the Lord. Stepping ahead in the gifts of God. I look back and I see God's hand in my life. And I'm wondering, as you look back on your life, do you see God's hand revealed? Do you see God's hand holding you and guiding you? See that happening all over this church. It is exciting to see you guys coming to the awareness that, man, God really cares about me. So coming to the awareness that God cares about me, about my family, about how I live. I'm going to put my focus on Him, and He's going to put His focus on me. You're going to have impact in your life. You're going to find that victory in your life. You're going to have to put your focus on God. You see in Daniel's life, Daniel holding on to God, and God holding on to Daniel. Amen?
Amen?
It could have been in his name. Because his name was Daniel. And Daniel means God is my judge. Do you realize that? That God is indeed your judge? That every time somebody called Daniel's name, it was like saying, God is my judge. Come over here. Breakfast is ready. God is my judge. Come over here. I got a shirt for you. God is my judge. God is my judge. God is my judge. And the Lord has a foundation for you, and some of us have never received that. See, he had a choice to make because the enemy will come along and give you a false foundation because he had the other name, the Prince of Baal. And some of us have received that name from the world, and there is confusion and despair in our lives. But there was no despair in Daniel's life. And he says, I inhabit any of that Belteshazzar thing. God is my judge. And I'm going to live. I'm going to live. I'll talk to you about that. If you're going to focus on the Lord,